141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for the start of the new SPFL season. Philippe Clement signs a new Rangers contract ahead of game one in the Premiership at Hearts tomorrow. Brendan Rodgers is raring to go after one of the best pre-seasons he's ever had. Mixed fortunes for St Mirren and Killy in Europe last night. And tonight is the night the Championship season gets up and running in Falkirk. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans.
A significant demonstration of self-belief on the part of Philippe Clement. He hasn't been Rangers manager for a year yet, but has seen fit to extend his contract. And by the same token, Rangers haven't had the benefit of his work for a full year yet, but I've seen enough to entice them to increase the length of his stay at Ibrox. And if Brendan Rodgers says this is among the best pre-seasons that he can remember, then that flies in the face of the supporters who are concerned by the lack of transfer activity. So, fascinating, Cammy, on the eve of the big show.
Yeah, listen, we're back at it. It's really exciting tomorrow. The games kick off, a huge match for Rangers. It's been a disruptive pre-season for them with the stadium saga that's been going on, and then obviously transfers out of the club, and then a number of transfers in as well. So yeah, really looking forward to the season.
Come on then, 01419511025. That is the number you need. It is the eve of the new Premiership season. Excitement levels should be rising. Hope, dreams, expectation, it is all there before you get miserably let down by your team tomorrow at some point. But this is the stage you can dream, you can aim high, you can come on and give us your outlandish predictions for the season ahead. If you want to get more specific on today's news, Philippe Clement's new contract, did anyone see that coming? I don't think we even dreamt of it when we left here at 8 o'clock last night. So Rangers fans, what is your reaction there? 01419511025. Are you as surprised as we are? Or maybe you could see these things coming somehow. What do you think about it? The show of faith from the board in him, the show of faith in the operation at the club as far as the manager goes? Is it a long term commitment? Is it a bit of a statement that they're all in this together? How do you view it? Give us a call on 01419511025. Robin Proper has signed as well. James Tavernier looks like, despite suggestions last week, he's very much part of the plans and is likely to play tomorrow. Give us your thoughts there. And anything else at all, same number. Let's do share your opinions, please. Celtic fans, as we alluded to in the headlines, Brendan Rodgers says it's one of the best pre-seasons he's ever had. A proper Brendan team he's seen in pre-season. He's sticking by, wants quality brought in, still wants to add more. He knows how many he wants in his head, but is feeling relaxed and says judge it when the window closes. So again, your thoughts there, please, on 01419511025. If you want to go back, last night, St Mirren fans, you must be happy. Paisley was rocking before the game, and then a 4-1 win on the night to take you through. How do you look back on it? What did you make of the game? How happy are you to be heading through? Killy fans, it wasn't to be. Where did it go wrong for you? Was that just a step too far, or is it a missed opportunity? All the teams involved this weekend, the Championship starts tonight. So much to get through. 01419511025. Even at your cynical stage, yep, in Scottish football life, Hugh Keevans, can you still bring yourself to get excited about a new season?
I think it's been magnificent. You know, you can't ask for more than Hearts against Rangers, 12:30 tomorrow. And then, depending on the result of that match, Celtic are either incentivised against Kilmarnock on Sunday, or Celtic are immediately behind in the league table after Saturday night and have to do their business properly on the Sunday. Dundee Derby back on Sunday, missed that, look forward to it. And the Jimmy Tielan effect at Pittodrie, we'll get a glimpse of that on Monday night, because I think he'll do good things for them.
Yeah, no, I'm excited actually to touch on Aberdeen to start with. I think they've shown glimpse of a real recovery, because listen, last season was almost a disaster. Peter Leaven brought a bit of a bit of quality back to it when he took over, but it was a disaster from where they should be finishing. I'm excited about that first game. The Hearts v Rangers game is massive. It's a huge game, and as I say, it's been a disruptive pre-season for Rangers on and off the pitch. So we'll just see how they can handle it. Then they've got a huge trip in Europe on Tuesday night. So yeah, it's a massive week for Rangers.
Yeah, stories there right throughout the fixture card tomorrow. Big news lines developing today. Philippe Clement's new contract, chief among them. Brendan Rodgers, lots of interesting stuff coming from his press conference as well. So let's get stuck straight in. It was the news early this morning. I don't think many people saw it coming. A new contract for Philippe Clement, tying him contractually, certainly, to the club until 2028. He says extending the deal was an easy decision, and his love for the club makes him want to stay long term.
At the end of May, we had more and more talks, and you feel the alignment. And then the club said that they wanted to be sure that I would stay for the longer term, that they wanted that in many ways, not only to coach a team or to train a team, but also for the other things around. To have ideas, to discuss, to work around that. And I feel good here. I love this place. I love this club. I love the city. I love the fans. I love the atmosphere in Ibrox, or the fans who are in the away games. So it was my feeling also to do it longer term and not to sit and wait until something more interesting comes in my mind. No, I really want to give all my best every second for this club because I love to be here.
Josh is on the line to kick things off. Did you see that news coming this morning, Josh? What do you make of it?
No, good God, no. I don't think anybody's seen Phil Clement signing a new deal. But here we are. For me, it's really, I think it's a message from the board to the team, to the squad and to the fans that everybody needs to either get on board or get off, because this is the guy that the board trusts to take the team forward, not just this season, but going forward into the seasons after. I think the one thing that he needs is time, and not just tokenistic time, time that, you know, we talk about, right, oh, well, he needs time, and then the second the pressure, he starts maybe losing games, you know, the pressure starts going on. He needs a lot of time to rebuild this squad for the disaster that Beale left us in last year. And I think as well, the one thing that he probably does need to do in the shorter term is he needs to get the better of Celtic in the Old Firm games. You know, when you compare him to Gerrard, I mean, Gerrard's first few seasons, I mean, he didn't win anything. However, he was able to give Celtic a game and beat them in Old Firm games. And I think that actually gave Gerrard a lot of length with the support. And I think if Phil Clement can tap into that, I don't think he necessarily needs to win the league this season. You know, part of me thinks we probably won't win the league this season. But I think he definitely needs to be able to get the better of Celtic. And the fans will see that. So if the fans see that we can compete with Celtic, then I think he will be given that time to build something. But this is, it's for the long haul, clearly. And I'm all behind him.
Is that what it is, Hugh, for you? It's just a sort of, you know, the club backing the manager backing the club, showing that they have to almost be in it together to turn this into, you know, the rebuild's going to have to be slightly long term.
Well, I'm not sure about that, Gordon. I honestly think that appealing for time is a waste of time, because I'm sure that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst loved the club, got them to European final. They still sacked him the following season. Glasgow doesn't afford you time. And, you know, Josh says that he's quite prepared for Rangers losing the league. And that's an understandable reaction given the squad that Celtic have. However, when the reality hits in, when the reality is that they have lost the league, people are unhappy. There are people who were unhappy with Philippe Clement last season because he was close to the league. And then we knew what happened at Dingwall and then Dundee. And Philippe Clement lost the backing of a lot of supporters around about that time. Unfairly, because, you know, as I say, the man today is 10 months into the job. But in this city, there's no patience, there's no forgiveness, and if Celtic go four in a row, there'll be much unhappiness. And Philippe Clement may have an affection for the club, but that on its own means nothing.
Agree with parts of that, Cammy, but and I know we do it. I've done it myself. Ah, you don't get time in Glasgow. We all have a laugh and chuckle about it. But John Bennett's been pretty clear. Rangers can't keep sacking their manager in October. So I know it sounds dramatic, and I know we love to say, "Ah, but you don't get time in Glasgow." Let's be purely hypothetical, and Josh won't like the thought of this. Say Celtic win the next three titles. So what? The Rangers just sack the manager every single time. You just can't do it. It's not sustainable. So at some point, you're going to have to give it a bit of a go.
It's not sustainable. You need stability within a club, and we all know that the best clubs have stability. You look at Man City. It took them a period to turn it around with Pep Guardiola. He's now thriving with the club, and they're pushing the right direction. But I just feel in Scottish football that here, especially the big two, time isn't given. And what happens for me is the pressure then gets put onto the board from the fans. The board then start to wobble a little bit.
Well, they've come under much more criticism for not winning the league last season than Philippe Clement did. I take his point. I'm not saying he was, you know, exempt from criticism, but I don't think many Rangers fans blamed him.
No, I don't think they did. But again, now he's had a transfer window, he's got his own players in the building, he's had a period of time to mark his put a stamp on the way that he wants to play. A pre-season's massive for a manager. I think he can get the message over, and this is where I think the pressure will build on Philippe Clement if he doesn't perform. And as I say, I always think that the big two, the Celtic and Rangers, you don't get given time, because as I say, if it's not directly at Philippe Clement, it will go to the board. And I've seen it so many times that they then start to wobble, the pressure builds, and ultimately they make the decision, because it's easier to move a manager on and appease a number of fans. But for me, Rangers need to stick with this manager. They need to believe in him. That's obviously why they've given him the contract. They're hoping this season starts well. As I say, pre-season hasn't been ideal for Rangers with the disruption on a number of players leaving, the stadium saga. But listen, the proof's in the pudding tomorrow. If they can get the 3 points and put the pressure on Celtic.
They both go under the microscope because they fell for Michael Beale. They get rid of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Yeah. Now, his results had taken a bad turn. However, they fell for Michael Beale with that ridiculous show of going into the director's box on a day when they knew that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was under all manner of pressure. They still fell for him. And then when they realised it was a hopeless case, they binned him as well. So they really do need Philippe Clement to come through for them as much as for Philippe Clement himself.
I think that's why, Josh, you know, this was important, because it's been easy to negative basically over the summer, and that maybe has led to people on the outside wondering whether Philippe Clement was going to hang around. Has that answered all this, or does that not really change? What do you think?
It's tough to say, Gordon. I'd like to take umbrage with something Mr. Keevan said there. I didn't say that I was prepared to lose the league this season. I said that part of me thinks that we might not win the league this season. So if you just want to issue a wee correction there, I'm sure you've done many in your time as a newspaper man. You can add that to your long list.
I'll be absolutely delighted.
I think the thing about Clement, and I think the interview that he'd done where he kind of indicated that it's maybe a bigger rebuild, or it wasn't given the same promises that he appeared to when he first signed signed with the club, that's probably indicated to a lot of fans that he might not be, you know, he might be thinking about his kind of way out. But with the business that he's doing, okay, we've not had a good pre-season at all. Nobody would say that. But I think that the business we've been doing has pretty much, mostly has been smart business so far, getting rid of Goldson and bringing in a player of a similar profile at no loss of money and actually saving a bit on wages is really smart business. I think the signing of Cherney was really good. I think we probably need a couple more players in. But I think we are starting to see a kind of a more intelligent way of signing players. The thing about Beale, and I agree with the guys that you know, the board did fall for Beale. You know, they fell for, he's a snake, and they completely fell for it. But we allowed him to come in and make all these crazy signings, and you know, give all these players crazy money. But Clement is doing the hard work and getting a lot of these players shifted on. There's still a few of them lying in there, and I'm not going to name them on the radio, but there are a few of them sitting in there absolutely stealing a wage for the quality that they're bringing. And I think Clement and Nils Koppen need to be on top of that over the course of this season, not just this window, but the January window and all. We need to bring the profile of players into a more sustainable model, one that has a mix of players with huge value, but also experience. Because, look, there's no beating about the bush. That's what Celtic have at the minute. And
Josh,
we need to get to that space as well.
Which part of you is the part that suspects Rangers might not win the title?
Well, I mean, just what I've said there, Hugh, I think that it pains to admit, but Celtic do have more depth of quality in their squad. They have a profile of player that some of the players that, you know, other clubs are looking at for multi-million pound bids, we're not really getting that with the players that we have in our squad. And there's a reason for that, because they're not of the same quality right now. That's not to say that they won't be this season. I don't know yet. We haven't kicked a ball yet this season. But that is probably the part of me that thinks, right, well, maybe we might find it tough. Because, look, we're possibly going into four seasons. Well, we've had three with Celtic winning, possibly four. We don't know yet. But, you know, I've always get the faith. And I would say I'm more of the view that Rangers will win the league than won't win the league, but I think it's on a knife edge.
Thanks to Josh for his time on 01419511025. We were about to speak to Alex in Clackmannanshire there, but Alex, you've disappeared off the phone line, so why not give us a call back? We'll try and get you on. Philippe Clement says patience will be needed. Hugh might not like it. It's not a word that is in his dictionary, but it will be needed in the early part of the campaign because of their big changes this summer.
I'm 200% sure we're going to be much better in October and November and December and the months coming after. That's normal. If you see how many players left the building, how many players came into the building, how many young players we brought also in, who still needs to learn things. So in that way, it's a squad with a lot of potential, more potential than there was last season. And for sure with the things we still want to do. So that's also the idea, to improve as a club and to become better. Does it mean that tomorrow we're going to see the best Rangers and better than last season? I think you will see some interesting things. I'm confident about that, but we're not there yet that we are at our best now. But that's the asking the impossible.
And that's where I'll meet the old man in the middle, Cammy, where it's all right us saying this is a show of commitment from both parties and it shows that it's going to be long term and everyone needs to pull together. If the Champions League qualifiers don't go well, if tomorrow doesn't go well, and let's look ahead to the first meeting with Celtic, obviously, if they don't go well, that's when that patience gets tested, obviously.
Listen, see you at 3 o'clock tomorrow. If it doesn't go well, you'll get plenty of phone calls coming in, because that's the nature of Rangers and Celtic. If they lose a game, fans react to it, they expect that winning. And for me, the start of the season is so important as well. Rangers can't fall behind in the league. Mm-hmm. They've been there before and they've struggled to gain the time back and get the points back. So I think tomorrow's a huge game for Rangers, and then Tuesday night as well, off the back, it's such a difficult game as well on Tuesday night. So it's a really tough start for Clement, but he needs to get right straight away.
I like that tantalising quote. I think tomorrow you'll see interesting things.
Oh, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, maybe the style of play, who plays where, but he's throwing out the suggestion that we could be surprised by what happens with Rangers tomorrow. And they are playing the team that they've got Hearts to keep now, haven't they? I mean, the Hearts have a shocking record against Rangers.
Listen, 3-3 draw the last time, but by and large, yes, you are correct.
I think he's implying that it's going to be his style of play, and he's got a number of his players in his squad, so it will be an interesting Rangers performance and result tomorrow.
Looking forward to it. Josh was all in favour of Philippe Clement's new contract. How do the rest of you Rangers fans feel? Celtic fans, we'll hear from Brendan Rodgers next, but let me tell you about this first.
Cash register with winhappy.com.
It's now a double rollover on cash register. Two calls made, both gone to five rings, and now it's £270,000. We could change your life with that money. If you text yes to 61025, texts are £2 plus your standard rate. You can enter on the website for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and the entries since we opened the lines at 6am on the 22nd of July have rolled over. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm on Friday when we make the call to win. Just answer your phone within the five rings, tell us the cash register amount, £270,000. It would go into your bank straight after the call. So text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Cammy Bell are in the building. It is the eve of the new Premiership season. It is the day of the new SPFL season, because the Championship will get underway. Falkirk will unfurl the League One flag as they take on Queen's Park this evening, and then we're right back to it. Summer will seem like a distant memory. It's chucking it down with rain out there as well, just to really hammer home that message. But we want you to join in on the phones, please. 01419511025. We're talking all things SPFL season resuming. Today's big story is that Philippe Clement has signed a new contract at Rangers, and there's some interesting stuff still to come from Brendan Rodgers. Lengthy press conference for him today. So as we said, Philippe Clement, new Rangers deal until the summer of 2028. Lots of you having your say on that on Twitter, but do give us a call on the usual number if you want to join in. Let's go to Mark, who's a Celtic fan first. How are you, Mark?
I am alright, how are you?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
I just wanted to make the point to the panel that the Celtic's positive pre-season and Rangers look no so positive. Do you think that the Celtic board see that and think, well, we don't need to go out and strengthen, we don't need to go out and spend £7-8 million in either, we don't need to buy a left centre-back, we don't need to buy another left-back for backup for Greg Taylor?
Is that what you think, Mark? Is that why you're asking?
Aye, a wee bit, because if you look last season when we were playing Hearts and we were getting beat and Rangers were top of the league and it wasn't looking good, the full stadium was singing, get the board it.
Ooh, I'm not sure that's what they were singing, but I'm glad you gave us the half past six
sanitised version.
Hugh, I've seen this before, and what do you think? Mark worried that, to paraphrase, Celtic think they can get away with it because they'll still be better than Rangers anyway, and therefore you maybe don't need to strengthen as much. Is that fair?
I can understand why anyone would arrive at that impression. It would be the most dangerous attitude of mind to take. It would be complacency and then some. And the one man I think who will not stand for that is Brendan Rodgers, because he made the comment about this club will not stand still. And then he made the comment about it would be dangerous if you snooze during the transfer market. And today he has gone on record saying he's still short on numbers. How many more times does he have to knock on the boardroom door and say more required? The finance director, Chris Mackay, and the chief executive, Michael Nicholson, flew to America for a meeting with Brendan when the team were playing their matches there pre-season. And that was all about recruitment talks. I think Celtic have a long, long way to go. When they kick off on Sunday, for me, the squad will be weaker than the one that finished the season by winning the Scottish Cup, because Ida is still at Norwich, Rocco Vata has gone to Watford, O has gone to Belgium, and Bernardo was there anyway last season. For Brendan Rodgers to speak about needing to do well in Europe, Celtic have a squad that at the moment, numerically, is inferior to the one that they had last season. And last season in Europe was another example of Celtic stagnation at that level. So a lot of things will have to happen between now and the close of the transfer window if they are to make any impact whatsoever in the revamped Champions League.
Well, Mark, let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers. He was asked about various things today, transfers being one of them. And as always, it's that Q word. He says the club must bring in quality to challenge in Europe, but knows they may have to wait.
Yeah, no, we want to improve. Yes, there's absolutely no doubt. I'm not going to get caught up in a whole negative, toxic energy around signings and everything else. I think every club will finish the season and then expect to be stronger in their next season. And we're no different. So, do we want to improve? Yes. Does the board know that? Yes. But our duty is for the supporters to give them the best team that we possibly can, because they deserve that, the support they give the club, the money they spend at this club. Okay, so we, as a football club, have to give them the best team that we possibly can. But sometimes that isn't always straight away. Sometimes you have to wait that little bit. And as frustrating as that can be for supporters, for managers, for coaches, and also for the players, because the players want the competition.
Can you find it within you, Mark, to just wait and judge it at the end of the window?
Aye, but like, if you look at last season's transfer window, we've done the exact same thing. And you'd think we'd learn for this one to get players in. I know the Euros and that were on and all that was going on, but you'd think they would learn for the mistakes to get the players in early, get them settled, get them off to America, link up with the team.
You know, Brendan referred to it there, Gordon, as toxic energy when you're speaking about the transfer window. I disagree. I think it's a legitimate observation to make that the two goalkeepers who have been brought in, excellent piece of business, a strategy there in play. Schmeichel is the one for today. Sinisalo is the one for tomorrow. So terrific business. But with regard to the outfield, it took them 10 weeks to sign Paolo Bernardo, who was there last season anyway. And Ida has gone back to Norwich. I don't think it's toxic energy. I think it's the legitimate right to point out that as things stand, the squad is numerically and in terms of quality weaker than it was at the end of last season.
I suppose, Cammy, is there a part of this that you just simply have to take at face value, because every single team in world football would want to do their business early? Nobody would choose this. So it must be that it is challenging in some respects. And by the way, I don't know why. I agree with you from the outside. Paolo Bernardo, there last season, was never going to cut it at Benfica. Why could it not have been done earlier? Fine. But generally speaking, if everybody could get all their signings in the first week of the window, they would do it.
That's the ideal world. And that's what everyone wants, is take their whole squad away from pre-season and gel them together and get them ready for the start of the season. It never works that way. Again, Brendan Rodgers keeps on saying the word quality. When you're looking for quality, these players are hard to get. See, the ones that don't have as much quality, they're the ones that are available and ready available for the start of pre-season. Adam Eady, you look at that example, new manager comes into Norwich, that's going to delay things. That's going to, again, he would probably want to have an assessment, Adam Eady, and see how he's going to fit in his plans, or if he is or isn't. I agree with the Paolo Bernardo one. That maybe could have been done earlier. I'm presuming it was negotiations that held that one up. But these things don't happen overnight. There's a lot goes into transfers and bringing in the right players. Celtic have been there before, where they've brought in players that haven't cut it. They want to get the right players in. And also, they've probably been battling a number of players they want to keep in the building. Mattarelli's one that's hot topic at the moment. They'll be working hard to keep him. But I want to touch on Kasper Schmeichel. I've not really spoke about him yet. I think that's an amazing sign. I really do. I think it's a fantastic signing. It's almost like for like with Joe Hart. I think it's probably a slight upgrade for me. I think Kasper's better with his feet. But again, the experience, the expectation levels, he'll be able to handle all this. So he can walk straight into Celtic's door and perform straight away, which he already has pre-season.
Let's hear more from the Celtic fans out there then. We'll thank Mark. What about Gary on the line? How are you, Gary?
Yeah, I'm good, Gordon. Nice to have you back. Hi, Hugh. Hi, Cammy.
Hi.
Hi, Gary.
My point is really, I'm listening to Hugh talking about kind of unrest in Celtic fans and signings and 10 weeks to sign Bernardo when he was in the door. Listen, there's a deadline for a reason. The deadline's, I think, 4 weeks today, actually. I think it is the 30th of August, if I'm right. Now, I'm pretty sure that when Hugh was a young geek at uni and he had a deadline for dissertations, he didn't just get it in as quick as possible. He dotted the I's and crossed the T's and made sure everything was in place properly. So
I just wish, there's 4 weeks left. Just calm down. I'm sure that Brendan Rodgers is coming out and saying all the right things. He isn't willing to, he's not going to sit back and just allow what happened the last time he was in Celtic. I'm sure they've got identified targets and there's stuff going on in the background that we don't see. But and also, for Hugh to bring out Rocco Vatta and O, how many cumulative minutes did they play last year? And you're bringing him up as a sign that we're weaker? I think it's just... stop sensationalising it.
Oh, to be fair, we don't have enough. It's not all deep. It's not all big serious criticism. But Hughes, and I don't often defend him, he's mentioning it because they used to be there and they're not. Celtic squad is weaker than last season, Gary. How could you not describe it that way right now? That's all he's saying.
And is it weaker because Rocco Vatta's not there, and weaker because?
Two things. You're missing the point. Even if it's 0.1% weaker because Rocco Vatta and O are there, I take your point. Their impact might be negligible. But it's still weaker, isn't it? Because they're not there, the numbers aren't there. Adam Ida's not there. Paolo Bernardo's now back, but he was there last season. It's not this big criticism. We don't have to get all super defensive. But to say Celtic squad is weaker now than it was last season, it's just not that offensive. It's verging on fact.
Right, okay. And is there a deadline? Is there a deadline that's saying the 30th of August?
Listen, I understand that Celtic could bring in players. And incidentally, may I just correct you on one thing? I did not attend university. I have never attended university. I left secondary school.
It's not worried about your life.
No. I'm getting picked on by people who are having a go. So I'll just correct you. I have never attended university. However, on the subject of the Celtic squad, I fully understand that there might be quality by the end of the transfer window. But let me reassure you, Gary, if Celtic are to make any impression whatsoever in the Champions League, they're going to have to get it in and quickly, because I don't know if you would disagree with me, but last season in the Champions League was, like the season before and the season before that, very poor.
Yes, and all right, okay. And I think you're just echoing what Brendan Rodgers has actually said. So if Brendan Rodgers has seen it, then I'm happy with that, because obviously he's coming back this time with a different kind of grip on the club, I think. I think that was probably part of the reason he's came back. I don't think for a second that the board are going to kind of renege on any guarantees they've gave him. And like I say, listen to Brendan Rodgers there. He's at the board's door, and the board know that, yes, it's not been good enough in Europe. But like I say, there's 4 weeks left. If it comes first of September and we are as weak as we are just now, then fine, I will come on here and I'll say sorry to Hugh, and I'll lament the board, and I'll say that they're standing still. All right, but there's 4 weeks left.
I get Gary's point of view. To be fair, I think when the opportunity comes to move these players on, you take it. And again, for me, Brendan Rodgers' position, when these players move on, it puts a little bit more pressure onto the board that numbers need to come in. So I kind of get where Brendan Rodgers is thinking. O's not a long-term solution for me. I don't think he was. So the opportunity is to move him on. Hak Sabanovic was always going to kind of move on. Joe Hart retired. Sigrist moved on because he wasn't part of the plan. Vatta wasn't part of the plan. So when the opportunity comes to move these guys on, I understand why he does it, because then that puts the pressure on the board to say, look, we've lost numbers, we need bodies in the building. And what Brendan Rodgers keeps on harping on about is quality in the building.
A very simple thing about Kyogo, for example. Kyogo is it. He is the striker at Celtic. And Rocco Vatta was wanted by Brendan Rodgers to be the third striker. He went on record and said as much. But at the moment, as things stand, Kyogo Furuhashi is the striker at Celtic Park.
So if he gets injured on Sunday, what do you do in the 3.5 weeks left until the window ends? But then I suppose maybe Gary's thinking more longer term than that, which is fine as well. Maybe you're actually both right. There's a novel concept. 01419511025. Great time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here. It is the eve of the Premiership season. Always an exciting time when it comes around. 0141 951 1025. If you want to get your thoughts into us, please. What about that new Philippe Clement contract? We did a bit at the start of the show. Any more opinions or thoughts on it? Get them over to us, please. Paddy is on the line. How are you, Paddy?
Yeah, not too bad.
What are you thinking tonight then?
My fear at the minute is if somebody comes in and takes away our big assets like our Matt O'Reilly or Rio Hatate, players that we really can't afford to lose, or like one of our callers was saying there, Kyogo gets injured, then we're going to struggle. I don't want to be left chasing and bringing in dregs, basically. The people, I think what Brendan means is he's waiting on the Premiership teams announcing who they're going to have as their first team lineups, and then we're going to basically take what's left from there. That's what it seems like to me. Going into this Champions League, we really need to be bringing on like for like. I'm wanting to take off a player like Alistair Johnson and bring on a player of the same quality, take off a player like O'Reilly, bring on a player of a similar quality, and obviously have a backup striker. Do you know what I mean?
It's not just a backup striker. Not just a backup striker for the Champions League, Paddy. You know, he's a backup striker now to play in the Premiership, because Kyogo is it. But the Matt O'Reilly's case is straightforward. That no one has come near with a valuation that's anywhere close to what Celtic are looking for, and therefore Celtic are perfectly entitled to say no, not for that money. They have a valuation of the player which I would imagine is somewhere between 20 and 25 million. And until somebody comes up with that, then Matt O'Reilly will be exactly where he is right now. And likewise, Rio Hatate.
The last caller, Paddy, was very confident or relaxed, if you like, that look, it's 4 weeks away, end of the window, this will all be fine. You sound a bit more unsure, would that be fair?
Yeah, I am, because I know what Celtic are like. We've been here before. Obviously, there is people sniffing about Matt O'Reilly, Rio Hatate and a few others. My fear is it gets to that stage 4 weeks down the line. It could be on transfer deadline day. Somebody comes in and goes, all right, you want 25 million for Matt O'Reilly? There you go. You want 20 million for Hatate or 15 million for Hatate, whatever it is. There you go. Have it. And you're left without your midfield, essentially.
To be fair, every player has a price. We know that. Yeah. And I don't like outlandish predictions. I'll leave them to Hugh usually, but there's no way Celtic are selling both, are they?
No, not for me.
You just couldn't.
No,
there's player trading and then there's daftness.
No, especially when they're in a strong position with contract wise as well. That's a big thing for these guys, that they contractually they've got length. Again, it might be that I get it that these big bids normally do come in the last week because teams will test Celtic to see how they are if they want to accept that 20 million with a few days of the window left. But as I say, it's up to Celtic. I can't see them selling both of them in this same window. I think that would be criminal for the fans. They're two massive players for the club. And listen, if O'Reilly goes, you can't replace him anyways. I don't think you replace him for a player who's going to walk in and be the exact same. He's such a quality player. It's going to be difficult to replace. But no way are they going to sell both in this window.
Well, let's hear a bit from the manager, Paddy, because he was asked about Matt O'Reilly, and he says the club are under no pressure to sell him for a low price.
He knows he's in a good place here. You know, I've said it before, Celtic's a place that you can leave, but you don't have to. And this is not just for Celtic, this is for the Scottish game. In general, I think for so long, the price that's set on a player is because of the league. It won't happen. You pay for the player. You absolutely pay for the player, and if you want the player... And as I said, I've known young guys in this window that I've worked with recently who've gone for, say, £30 million. And we get offers in for the likes of Matt, with the greatest respect, nowhere near that. So we don't have to sell.
There you go, Paddy. I don't know if that makes you feel any better. Paulo Bernardo's back. What did you make of that?
Again, it's a signing that it should have been done earlier. It was one that was kind of expected, isn't it? It's not. I don't really see it as a new signing, essentially. He was there last year. It was when Hugh was talking about it's not really strengthening the squad. In my opinion, it's kind of bringing a player in that was already there. I'd like to see Adamida come in to be in that similar situation, to have a backup striker in there. But you look at, as the other caller said as well, a left-back position or left-centre-back position, and like I said, a kind of midfield area, we're kind of short in there. We've got guys on the pace lap like James McCarthy. What's he doing? Why is he even still there? He's not even getting a sniff at the squad. He's not even getting anywhere near. So these guys should be offloaded, and other guys should be getting brought in and strengthening that kind of area that we're lacking in.
I think there has to be a sense of reality, Paddy. It's all very well for the club to talk about wanting to do well or better in the Champions League. Between now and the end of the window, if that is the case, they're going to have to dig deep then and push one or two boats out, because I'm not even talking about the loss of Matt O'Reilly, because Matt O'Reilly's been there when the Champions League was a flop for Celtic. Likewise, Rio Hatate. The overall picture, that the squad has to be strengthened if they are to be anything other than cannon fodder in the Champions League, which is all they have been for a long time.
Suppose we can cross the Champions League bridge when we come to it to an extent, Cammy, although it is a link to even Brendan Rodgers talking about it today. I wonder if he is feeling a bit more relaxed about it, because although we obsess about transfers being the only way to improve your squad from one season to the next, he clearly thinks that he's going to get much more out of the players this season than he did last season. Teams can improve without signing in anyone.
Yeah, again, Nicholas Kuhn's probably an example that you're looking at. I think it's taken a number of weeks for him to transition months into a Celtic player, understand the club. Listen, he had obviously his injury problems as well. So I think Brendan Rodgers will be looking at him as a new signing coming into the team. You've obviously, I touched on it before, Kasper Schmeichel will be a massive signing for the club in regards to his leadership, the way that he handles himself. I think he'll be a great addition to the squad. I still think Celtic need four or five bodies if they want to try and progress in the Champions League. I think they've got to be four or five real quality bodies. But as I said before, it's not easy to get quality bodies in the building, or they would have done that at the start of the transfer window. And again, probably what you end up doing there is paying over the odds. And I think Paddy's probably right. They're maybe looking at just waiting on seeing what Premiership teams are doing with their squads, and then the guys that maybe don't make the starting 11 or are on the fringes of the squad, they'll get for a little bit of a cut price.
Well, Paddy's a little bit worried. If Brendan Rodgers is, he's hiding it well, because he says he's been one of the best pre-seasons he's ever taken part in.
This is arguably one of the best pre-seasons I've ever had. And it was interesting, because I had one young player of mine who played for Chelsea, a former player, and he said after the game when he played against him, he was talking on the bench and he was talking about that. It's a Brendan team we're playing. So that was a good sign for me on a personal level, because he has played for me before and knows what I expect and demand, and he can see it in a different team.
There you go, a Brendan team.
Well, you know, Louis Palmer has looked the deal. Likewise, Nicholas Kuhn. Kyogo looks right back to the Kyogo the Celtic fans knew and loved. He had an in-and-out season last season. So I think you made a terrific point earlier on, Gordon, when you said that people can re-emerge, be revitalised. Kuhn, Palmer come into that category. Young players that were about the place in America, the Francis Turleys of this world, the Colby Donovans, who knows, maybe there's one of those to come as well.
Well, forget the big games tomorrow. There is a big performance needed in here from you two tonight. Because
hey, I won this week already.
Yeah, I know, but some of your colleagues have let you down. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Where are you, St Mirren fans? Can't be that hungover, surely. I know it was a great night in Paisley. I'd love to hear all about it. I'm jealous I wasn't there, so pick up the phone if you can and let us know how last night was. Kelly fans, maybe a bit more of a commiseration to you. So again, how did it go from where you were sitting? Give us a call, but plenty more to come. We're going to hear more from the Rangers camp. I'd like more of that reaction on Philippe Clement's new contract if you can. Championship starts tonight, big games across the weekend, and it's Beat the Pundit time. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans can barely contain his excitement that the new league season is just around the corner. The man keeping him in check tonight is Cammy Bell, and you can join in on the party. 01419511025. To recap what you missed, if you're just joining us, Philippe Clement signed a new contract. We had a bit of reaction to that. We moved on to Celtic's transfer business. Brendan Rodgers is calm. He still wants more quality, but he says it's the best pre-season, or sorry, one of the best pre-seasons he's ever been involved in. So where do you stand on that? Got interesting stuff still to come. A real show of faith, if you like, a real positive stuff from Philippe Clement on James Tavernier, because this time last week it maybe looked like he would be on his way out of Rangers. Far from it, looks like now, and pretty much confirming, he will lead the team out at Tynecastle tomorrow. So I wonder what you make of that, Rangers fans. There's a new signing in Robin Proper as well. St Mirren fans, Kilmarnock fans, I am desperate to hear from you and what you made of your European exploits last night. So give us a call right now, and the Championship season does start tonight as well. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's just, honestly, you couldn't have gone better this opening week on Beat the Pundit. It is poised. Whoa. It is all coming down to tonight. Marvin Bartley lost on Monday. Simon Donnelly lost on Tuesday. Hugh Keevans kickstarted the comeback. Brian Graham equalised. And now it means whoever wins tonight wins the week. Will it be the Pundits or will it be Billy in Lark Hall? What do you think, Billy? Fancy your chances?
Absolutely, aye, absolutely.
Good.
If it's Uncle
Shuggy
anyway, absolutely.
I like it. I like it. He's too focused on the league starting this weekend. He's too excited. He might be taking his eye off the ball.
Gone early, Billy. Gone early, son.
You've already got one win under your belt this week. Two would be unthinkable on the opening week. Heads, it will be Hugh Keevans. Tails, it will be Cammy Bell. And it is. It's a doubler for you. Hugh Keevans. It all comes down to you. So let's give Shug some greatest hits radio to listen to, just so that he can't hear us. Billy, have you ever played before?
I've not, but you know
the drill, don't you? 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, top man, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who was Celtic manager when they held Man City to two draws in the 2016 Champions League?
Neil Lennon.
True or false, Philippe Clement managed Cercle Bruges, who knocked Kilmarnock out last night?
False.
Which Scottish team does Andy Murray support?
Hibs.
Ross Docherty is the captain of which Scottish Premiership team?
Pass.
Who's got more Portugal under 21 goals, Bernardo or Jota?
Bernardo.
Owen Beck was loaned to Dundee last season from which English Premier League side?
Liverpool.
Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Good on you. 30 seconds. It all comes down to this for the week. Your time starts now. Who was Celtic manager when they held Man City to two draws in the 2016 Champions League?
Brendan Rodgers.
True or false, Philippe Clement managed Cercle Bruges, who knocked Kilmarnock out last night?
False.
Which Scottish team does Andy Murray support?
Hibs.
Ross Docherty is the club captain for which Scottish Premiership team?
Dundee United.
Who scored more goals for Portugal under-21s, Paulo Bernardo or Jota?
Bernardo.
Owen Beck was loaned to Dundee last season from which English Premier League
Liverpool
team?
Liverpool.
Name any of the Euro 2024 top goal scorers apart from Harry Kane.
Pass.
Okay. What do you think, Billy?
I don't know. We were under pressure there.
I'm a bit worried that this man's been off for some warm weather pre-season training in Anstruther. He's come back a new specimen. He looked fit there, didn't he? He looked powerful.
Strong.
He looked bang at it, just starting a new season the way you would want. He was off to a flyer. Brendan Rodgers was the Celtic manager in 2016 when they drew twice with Pep's Man City. 1-0, Hugh Keevans. You both held your nerve on the next one, though. Philippe Clement managed Club Bruges, not Cercle Bruges, so 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. You both knew that Andy Murray is a Hibs fan. A wee tear in your eye when retired last night. It's not really your style, is it?
No, not at all.
Nothing moves you. I thought it was quite emotional, but never mind. You both got that one. Hugh still leads by one. Dundee United are captained by Ross Docherty. Hugh Keevans stretches his lead. The thing that's impressing me about this is Billy's no bad. Mm-hmm. Billy knew, like you did, that Bernardo has got more than Jota. He also knew that Owen Beck has come from Liverpool. So Billy was fine. Billy got four on the board. But at this point, you've got all of them correct. You've got all six at this stage. It is a victory. It's a 6-4. Just for the avoidance of doubt, though, you did fall at the next hurdle. Name any of the Euro top scorers apart from Harry Kane. There was loads. Olmo, Gakpo, Musiala, Mikitadze. There was loads. So you didn't get that one. You're not going for the 10, but it's a 6-4 win for Hugh Keevans. Billy, I don't know if you could have done much more. He was a man in form, was he not?
I beat with a better man.
You happy with that?
Well done, Billy. Thank you.
Billy, I know you're a Rangers fan. Just let me put you in the spot while we've got you. What did you make of that Philippe Clement news today? Were you surprised?
Kind of half and half, really. I mean, I think we kind of need to stop this cycle of, you know, changing managers every year. You know what I mean? It's more the players than anything. And I'm just quite glad we're getting out of this cycle of players, you know, now. So I just think you need to give the manager a bit of time, you know what I mean, and take it for there. You kind of just keep, you know, changing manager every year and blaming the manager. It's the players as well. They cross that line and they play the 90 minutes, you know what I mean? So
it's quicker to sack a manager than all the players, though.
BG can't keep doing it, though, you know, at some point. And I suppose that's why, Cammy, that's why I keep asking people, were you surprised? And most people saying yes. That's not some sort of criticism, but usually a manager gets a new contract if his is running out, which Philippe's come on, wasn't, it was 2027, or they get a new one to quickly reward them for success.
Yeah.
And look, Philippe Clement has came in and did a good job at the start. It tailed off. He's done a fine job. It's been okay, but not to the level you would say, oh my goodness, this guy must get a new deal. So that's why it's surprising. It's more of a longer term piece of news that has come out the blue, like I said, for those two reasons. It didn't need to happen now because of time constraints, and it's not like he just came off the back of a treble.
Yeah, no, I think it is the board putting out their stamp that they want this to be a long term. They want it to work. They're backing their manager. I think Clement, for me, probably overachieved with the squad he had last season. Then they had that stumble against Ross County and Dundee, which lost them the league, obviously losing against Celtic as well. But I think with the squad, from where they were and how low they were against that Aberdeen performance earlier in the season under Michael Beale, he managed to pick them up. I think he's got a cycle where, as Billy says, it is the players. He's having to move a number of players on and given his own opportunity to bring in some players. So yeah, I think it's a sign of intent. Listen, whether it was the right thing to do, whether any of this negativity that's been around Rangers pre-season and the stadium stuff played a part in it, but they said the discussion was had in May, so it's a long-term solution, and Billy's right, they can't keep changing managers.
Where are you now, Billy? Because maybe 10 days ago, all I was hearing on here, you know, stadium's not ready, signings are not coming as quickly as we'd like, pre-season results and performances haven't been very good. Since then, a couple more have gone out the door. Robin Proper has been signed, Cherney's been signed, the manager signed a new deal. Is this enough to get you excited about the new season?
Not as excited as what I could be, to be honest. I think it's a bit of a shambles, you know, as you say at the start of the pre-season, but it's gradually get better. You know, hopefully another couple of signings in and a good start to the season tomorrow and take it for there.
That's a shame, Hugh. Well, listen, I know the way rivalry works. Not everyone will think it's a shame. But generally, I always think the Friday before the season starts, you should be able to park everything and get blindly excited about the season ahead. Billy's just not quite there yet. And that's understandable.
If Rangers win it in Tynecastle tomorrow and Celtic draw with Kilmarnock at Celtic Park, Billy will be running around his garden on Sunday evening.
Think they will win tomorrow, Billy, incidentally. How confident are you?
Well, I'll be running around the town, never mind the garden.
You fancy a winning start, or is that the type of fixture that worries you? I know you've got an excellent record against Hearts recently.
I mean, as you say, we have got a good record there, but right now I'm not really holding out much hope. But you never know, you know what I mean? You never know.
Well, Billy, I look, you know, you're judging things perhaps on the games against Birmingham City and Man U and what have you in the close season, you know, and the Celtic fans are looking at Chelsea, Manchester City, and the seven goals that Celtic scored against the two of them, and they're getting excited. I look at Hearts the weekend before the Scottish League season begins. They're losing 3-0. They think of themselves as the third biggest club in Scotland. They're losing 3-0 to Fleetwood Town, who are from the fourth tier of English football. I just thought that result was astonishing.
Who said that, Cammy? They were the third best team by a mile last season. Let's not speculate too much about Lawrence Shankland, because we've done it enough. As it stands, he's still a Hearts player, and it looks on the face of it like they've recruited quite well. Spittle, Dander, Penrice, all pre-contracts, all in early, all know the league. So I know what Hugh's saying, but it was a friendly. Surely Hearts will feel in a good place going into the new season.
Absolutely. And I would touch on it just now. I don't think you read too much into pre-season. Yes, Brendan Rodgers is absolutely delighted to have had the best pre-season, but that counts for nothing if they don't get 3 points on Sunday. And Rangers' pre-season's been, as I said before, disrupted by a number of things. But if they go and get 3 points at Hearts, it kickstarts the season. So I wouldn't read in anyone's form too much. There's a lot of pre-season games. I've been there myself. There's a lot of substitutions happen. Again, the game's never played at a proper tempo. So you can get minutes in the bank. Of course, you can get your fitness up, but it's not the same as a league game. So I wouldn't read too much in it. But I think Hearts are in a good place. I think you're right. What you said there, Gordon, was they've signed players that know this league, so they should hit the ground running.
Thank you very much to Billy. Where's the St Mirren fan gone? I'm just about to bring him in. He's just disappeared. Derek was on, St Mirren fan. Come on, Derek and Renfrew, where are you? Give us a call. I was just about to bring him back in whilst we wait on Derek, because I'm very keen to talk St Mirren. Let's hear just a bit more then from Philippe Clement. You might be interested in this, because so much speculation about James Tavernier. Kind of looked like he maybe would be on his way out, and now it looks like that's flipped in the space of a week. And Rangers boss thinks the captain can have a really strong campaign, and admits he was probably overplayed the last season.
He's been very important last season, and as a captain of Rangers, and that's part of the job. And I've been there, done that in other clubs, comparable also, I think, with Club Brugge, with a passionate fan base and high expectations that you need to win everything. You know, in the moments you don't win everything, everybody looks at the captain. That's part of the job. He fits that role well because he can manage that. I've seen in the past a lot of people break in that situation also. I think he had one disadvantage last season, that he played all the games. And that's also my responsibility. So because of that, I think in moments he was not as fresh that he should be. So that's something we want to change also for this season. I think Tav can make a really strong season, and he's really hungry for that.
And he was asked, will he lead the team out at Tynecastle tomorrow? And he thought about keeping it close to his chest, and then he said yes. Yes, he will. So there we go. Let's bring in Derek, who we've got back. How are you, Derek?
I'm very well, thank you. Ecstatic.
Oh, well, can I imagine? How's the head, first and foremost?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
It was a school night, I suppose, wasn't it?
Oh, I had a few before the game, and it was just quite sentimental for me, because going back to the days of the 80s, I've got some family members and some very good friends that are no longer here that used to go with me to the games. My father, my friend Brian McCammy, good Clyde fan. And obviously I've got a few kind of uncles that still go, Derek Moore and Brian. Absolutely tremendous, you know. And followed some months since I was 3 years old.
I understand the sentimentality. I remember the days of the old Love Street when St Mirren won the Scottish Cup. I remember one of the St Mirren coaching staff going out into the middle of the park and they held the cup up to the sky.
Yep.
And I was covering the game, and someone told me that his father had passed away. And I understand the sentimentality that's attached to football, and it's a great thing. And now, Derek, I'll come back at you with this one. St Mirren did last night what they really should have done. They were playing part-time, semi-pro opposition from Iceland. They did a professional number on them, and that's to Stephen Robinson's credit and to all the players. But that is what we have to demand of clubs like St Mirren, because for too long, in too many places, they've let themselves down against mediocre opposition, teams they should not have been losing to. So I commend St Mirren. That's what they should have done, and they did their jobs properly.
You feel like you can keep this going, Derek? You know, the way everyone got behind the team last night, the buzz in the town, it was a sellout. Good to be a part of, I take it.
Definitely. I don't think we can fear anybody in Paisley now. I don't think we can fear with the crowd and the boys that do the all the banner work, Josh and all his crew and all the young team, and even every stand was singing. Every stand was singing on their feet. No, and it's like to people like Tony Fitzpatrick. Tony Fitzpatrick is been mocked for years. And he's to St Mirren what Alex Ferguson is to Man United and Aberdeen. They should name a stadium after him. I know they've named a stand after him, but Stephen Robinson and all his staff, even down to the academy, Stephen McGinn coming back, and the boy that runs the academy, can't remember his name now, but a Renfrew boy as well. I knew him years ago, so I come from Renfrew myself. But I just absolutely, I don't think we'll fear anybody. I'd love to get to group stages and not fear anybody. I think we'll really be strong in the league this season as well, and basically make St Mirren Park a fortress.
Yeah, Cammy, it was a job well done. Hugh's right that this should be the minimum requirement at this stage of the qualifiers. If you get an Icelandic team, a part-time team, it should go like it did last night. So St Mirren will hope that eventually down the line comes a game where, you know, they punch above their weight, they knock out a team that's ranked above them or whatever. But as Hugh also alluded to, our teams have made a mess of these types of games before, so it was good to see it done so efficiently.
Absolutely, and I think Stephen Robinson will have sent that message that, look, there's been a lot of Scottish teams that fell at the first hurdle, been quite embarrassing. And again, the knock-on effect of that, we've seen managers sacked early on in the season, and just poor form continued from such a bad result. So he wanted to get the job done, and I expected nothing less of a Stephen Robinson performance last night. He's signed some good players. Sean Rooney, that got the first goal, I think he's a really good signing. He's a player that fits Scottish football really, really well. And then for me, it's a club that's going in the right direction. They're progressing every year. Again, when they got in the top six, they missed out on that European sort of spot, and they were a little bit disappointed then last season. They get the European spot and they're thriving on it at the moment, and they'll be absolutely delighted with last night and looking forward to the next one.
I know they had to kind of march towards the stadium. There's just such a feel-good factor about the club right now. I did a newspaper piece with Stephen McGinn a couple of weeks ago, and he is thrilled to be back at St Mirren, where he started off as a schoolboy. Such a feeling about the place, and Stephen Robinson deserves immense credit for that.
SK Bran up next, so we'll see how it goes. We'll wish Derek and his fellow St Mirren fans well. Not to be for Kilmarnock, obviously a higher sort of ranked European opponent, so maybe understandable, but I wonder, Kelly fans, how frustrated you are to go out in that one. Give us a call, 01419511025. We'll leave you with the thoughts of Stephen Robinson. He feels the win, the 4-1 victory against Valour, showed the togetherness at the club.
It was fantastic to see a great display at the start. A lot of work goes into that people don't see, and seeing the boys during the week when we're training, putting that together. So great respect for them. The atmosphere in the stadium, even when we started to get a little bit tired, when they scored a goal, fans rallied behind them, and that's massive. You can see the club's very much together. The fans are enjoying what they see from this group of players, and the atmosphere is very good at this moment. And we wanted to represent Scottish football in a good manner. I believe we've done that. And so I'm delighted for all the players and staff that put so much effort into it. My job now is, when your expectations rise and you're a good side, you've got another really tough game on Saturday. So for this moment in time, I have to put that to bed, the European side of things, and concentrate on a really dangerous hip side.
Come on then, give us a call. Whatever it is you have to share with us, now's the time to do it, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here. I know some of you don't miss a trick, and yes, usually at this time in the show we tackle the full-time teaser, where you send a question in and we try and get the pundits to answer. We'll bring it back next week, so get thinking over the weekend. Send us an email, fulltime@clyde1.com. David's a Kilmarnock fan. How do you look back on last night, David?
Oh, wow, what an absolute wonderful experience. Going to Bruges as a Kelly fan. The only negative's obviously the result, guys, but super proud. It was incredible. What a visit.
How do you feel about the defeat, David? Is it one of them that you know, it's a level of opponent that there's sort of no shame in losing to, but at the same time, maybe you could have edged through. How do you look back on the football side of it?
Listen, when I spoke to the girl on the phone, the girl asked me and I said, listen, everyone was really positive. The only slightly negative is if you've been a really picky Kelly fan, you're going to say, I wish we had gone for it a wee bit more. However, maybe just things didn't work out for us last night, whether it was team formation, selection. They had seen what we did last Thursday and we had played much better last Thursday and we're right on top of them. So I think if you've got to be positive about it, you've got to think that Circle Bruce set up last night to make sure they were going to win the tie and that we were going to go home. And that's the way, that's the positive way to look at it.
Cammy, with your, sorry, Hugh's going to start with Mr. Kilmarnock in the corner. How'd you look back on it?
I was actually at the first leg at Rugby Park and I felt as if that game had went on 10 minutes longer, Kilmarnock would have got another goal. They were right on top. Fraser Murray came on in that game and made a huge impact. And Circle Bruges, who looked a little bit rattled at that point, so they were glad the full-time whistle went. We knew it was going to be a different tie going over to Belgium, and it was. But I feel as if the players and the manager will be a little bit disappointed because I think it was an opportunity missed. I think Kilmarnock are good enough to go and beat that team over the two legs. Even last night, they had a couple of half chances. Balls just didn't fall to them in the box. And they lost a poor goal, which isn't like Kelly either.
The nature of the goal that they lost is tear your hair out stuff, isn't it?
That'll hurt them so much. That'll hurt Derek McInnes because that's not Kilmarnock. They never give away cheap goals. And it's just, I think they'll be looking back, think it's a missed opportunity. Listen, I totally agree with David. The fans had a great time. I was watching on social media. They looked as if it was amazing, great atmosphere. And they really soaked in. The bonus is they've got the Conference League, so they've got another opportunity at this. And again, it won't be as high a level of team. And I fully expect Kilmarnock to go and beat the Norwegian team now.
What I said about St Mirren applies to Kilmarnock. St Mirren did what they should have done. And Kilmarnock have gone out to a side of comparable quality from a good league. And it's perfectly understandable. It all hinged on the fine margins that we speak about, defensive error, goal, and it's the only goal of the game.
We do need to get to a collective stage though where we can find a win like that though, don't we?
Yeah,
like we said, I don't think there's any shame in losing to Cercle Bruges. But then as Cammy says, David, you watch the game with your eyes, Kelly could have won it. Or that they, you know, there's not loads in it. It's not like you've lost.
I think we'll look at the finances, and Derek, we kind of spoke about it a lot before the first leg and said, look, they're on a different level from us financially. But when you watched them on the pitch, there wasn't much. The boy up front, Denke, who's rated at 15, 16 million. If you looked at the first game, I would have took Kyle Fussell over Denke. So I just feel as if
just a slight missed opportunity.
Yeah, I really do. And I think the players will feel that as well.
If you were Derek McInnes, would you be quite happy that your next game is Celtic at Celtic Park? Because if you want to blow away the cobwebs, that's the place to go.
And you need to do it, Hugh. And again, Kelly have showed that
you
can
pick that.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't pick it
away in Europe.
But
are you?
But again,
no, it's the opposite. Surely
you wouldn't pick it. But
a home tie, home game.
It is what it is. And Derek McInnes will set up his side to be robust.
Well, let's ask David. David, is that a particularly tough week, or is it the old free hit as people describe it sometimes?
Oh, it's a particularly tough week because we're seriously struggling at the back at the moment. We've got, I believe Robbie Deas is out suspended. Joe Wright's possibly injured. He had to come off last night. And Corey and Dabba, we've just got back in from Ipswich. He's injured as well. We've got a boy in from Sunderland as cover today. However, we're seriously struggling at the back, guys. And yes, it's an incredibly difficult game on Sunday, especially with Kelly not being used to the European game on a Thursday night.
Yeah, Ollie Bainbridge from Sunderland's the latest defender that David speaks about. I want, because we've seen this in the past, whether it's Hearts or whoever, you know, it does take a bit of getting used to just that cycle, and you can only get used to it if you do it year in, year out, which your teams don't really.
Yeah, but I would say what the benefit Kilmarnock have, they've got a manager who's been there and done it. Derek McInnes, he's been there in European football and handled that side of things, so he'll have an understanding of how to set his team up. So
David, I was just going to ask, you'll be, in a footballing sense, glad you've got another go at it, but Tromso, the Arctic Circle. Is that you done your away day seeing Kelly and Bruges? I'm not sure will you manage it?
No, see, to be personally honest, I would love to have gone, but believe it or not, I'm flying out to Malaga for a family birthday on the Friday.
I know where I'd rather go.
Sounds better, doesn't it?
And there's absolutely no way I could get that one past the missus. So,
you're going where? No. Just the Arctic Circle. I'll be back in a week.
I'll be in Tom's on for
that one. Anyway, well, to those of you who are going, you can give us a call nearer the time. Thank you to David. Kilmarnock will take on Celtic, of course, on Sunday. It will be Flag Day. What does Ryan on the line think of it all? He's a Celtic fan. Take it away, Ryan.
Hi, evening, guys. How are you?
Good. Good. You?
Hi, I'm good. What it is it's the same old Celtic, and I'm quite concerned. Obviously, they're no willing to spend the money for Aida, but they're wanting to hold off for the big bucks for O'Reilly. And I'm quite concerned that what's going to happen is, as was said earlier on, that somebody's going to come in for maybe Hatate at the same time. And you need to remember, this was a club who let Craig Gordon go. They'd tied up the goalkeeper at that point, as we know, the big man. So, I mean, it's quite... The quality has to be brought in, and it's not. And I just don't understand why that... I mean, Brendan's saying that he's going to bring the quality, and I don't think that they're behind him the way they should be. I think that... That guy's there last season, seen what he's done. Why not just get that and see the carry on that's going on? I can't understand that.
Again, it's Hugh, it's one on the outside. Mm-hmm. Spoke about Bernardo. Celtic fans all summer have been saying, how can I get Ida back? You know, he was there and he clearly liked it and whatever. Yeah. That one is a bit different, to be fair, because Norwich had a new manager. That was bound to take a bit of time. He's now late for flights to join up with Norwich. And all that sort of stuff. If you can forgive the last couple of weeks or months, you would still look for that to be soon, wouldn't you? If it's him, it really got to be soon, surely.
Well, either that or he's not the only football player in the world. You know, if you can't.
No, but if he's the one you want, you're not going to cut your nose off to spite your face for the sake of, you know, an extra week or 2 weeks to get him, are you?
Again, point in that? I think if my memory serves me correctly, Celtic made an official offer for Adam Ida on the 4th of July, and now we're at the 2nd of August. And they haven't made another offer yet. So for me, it's about the acceleration of business. If you're not prepared to go to the extent that Norwich want you to go to, then go and get somebody else then. Because Brendan Rodgers quite rightly says that Celtic's business principles won't allow them to let Matt O'Reilly go for perhaps anywhere between 5 and 10 million pounds less than they want for him. That's fine. So if Norwich do the same to you, then surely you've got somebody else in mind.
That is the balance that any team has to strike. I'm glad Ryan brought it up when he said, you know, Brendan Rodgers saying today, if you want to buy Matt O'Reilly, bid on the price for the player. Don't bid on the price, you know, for the league. But Celtic will do that when looking elsewhere. I'm not saying Ida as an example, but Celtic bought Matt O'Reilly for 1.5 million or whatever it was. They paid a League One in England price. They didn't pay Matt O'Reilly. Do you know what I mean? If you apply the same logic, tell me Rio Hatate is only worth whatever it was Celtic paid for him. He's a better player than that, but that's the market they went to. So it's difficult. I hope, for what it's worth, I hope Brendan Rodgers is right, because it would be brilliant for Scottish football to be able to, all of us, to attract bigger fees. But we also all have to have the awareness that we'll then do that to other leagues when the time suits.
Yeah, we absolutely will. And Celtic are probably one of the best at doing that, is finding these gems and looking at the league and the level, the country they're in as well. And that'll dictate the value that they're wanting to pay. So I think they're clever in what they do. They use the market really, really well. They've obviously been so successful. I think Scottish football at the moment's probably... I feel as if we're sitting in a good place, that Matt O'Reilly would go for 20 million plus. He's such a good player. He's young as well. Celtic hold all the cards with him. And I know Ryan's mentioning selling the both of them. I really can't see that happening. I think that would be... the fans wouldn't be happy if that happened. There would be so much disruption to Brendan Rodgers, so I really can't see the both of them going.
Ryan, can you find it within yourself? Asked someone this earlier, you know, Brendan Rodgers is of the mindset that you judge this at the end of the window. There's still 4 weeks to go. You're not confident it will all be well?
It's not so much that. It's just, I mean, the season starts on Sunday. As you say, if they placed this bid back then, you imagine that they either get them, they put another bid in, or they move on. And then, I mean, look at the Jota situation. That kind of money comes in. You tell me if that, because Celtic have got a good model for this. I understand that. If a good bid comes in for Hatate, they're not going to say no. Same with O'Reilly. They'll take the money.
They wouldn't sell them both without ridiculous replacements, why? Surely.
Well, without replacements, understood. But the thing is, you would imagine that would be the thing. The replacements don't seem, there doesn't seem to be any active transfer business going on just now.
That's my point. You know, I know that Celtic have a fantastic transfer model that has made the club fortunes, and that they work it very well. And even Rangers have stated their envy of what Celtic do in that regard. However, if I can just say, by the end of August, Celtic may have signed two or three players of the very highest quality. But as things stand on the 2nd of August, they have got in two goalkeepers, one outfield player who was there last season, and that's it. Now, I just...
But what choice do you have other than to wait and see come the end of the window? Because then you may well be right, and I'm not saying you won't be, but until such time, can I not got much choice, do we?
No, you've no choice at all. But come the end of the transfer window, if it's not looking much better, then I'm sorry,
they've retained their key players. At this moment in time, they've retained their key players. And I think that's really important to reiterate. They've not lost Mattarelli yet. So if they can keep him in this window, that's a huge boost for all the Celtic players and fans and manager. But I agree, they need bodies to come in as well.
Looking forward to Sunday, Ryan. Season getting up and running.
I'm looking forward to Sunday, yeah. It's just obviously with the, I mean, it's Europe, but we've got 8 games in Europe. We need to be trying to do that. I mean, and looking on for the success that Rangers had, surely that we could go on and do that. If we don't do the stagnation that we've done before, we need to wait and see if we can get in. We're already in. We need to be buying the players for that, and I just don't see that happening.
I suppose that helps though, because in other seasons, you really need the players by this point because you've Champions League qualifiers and then you don't make it. Maybe there's a little bit more time, but we'll see. Thank you to Ryan for giving us his thoughts. He says he's looking forward to Sunday. Of course, Celtic kicking off the defence of their Premiership title, won the Scottish Cup last season as well. Brendan Rodgers says it's a burning desire to improve the team. He's targeting a treble, as you would expect, and European progress.
Our objective is to win every domestic trophy. You can't hide behind anything other than that. We're in an exciting Champions League format, so we want to come and get into the playoff stage of that. We have to be better in Europe. Simple as that. You can't beat about the bush. We look at where we're at. We have to be better. But in order to be better, it's no the players at that. You need quality. And if you're going to improve in that, then we need to find that. It's as absolutely simple as that. So that's our drive. That's our motivation. And that's something that the ambition is absolutely burning for us to be the best that we can be.
So looking forward to Sunday, I'm sure Celtic fans are. Flag Day, they get used to that ceremony before new season start, and they will do it again, this time over against Kilmarnock. We've got Championship football tonight, of course. The SPFL season officially does begin this evening, so there's time to look at that. There's time to look at the rest of the weekend's fixtures and anything else you've got for us. We'll do it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That's us into the final part of the final show before the Scottish Premiership season resumes. Sleepless nights all around, looking forward to it, excited about what the new season will bring, and still time for you to call if you want to share. Do you know what I'm a bit, not annoyed about, but we know I've had a lot happening today. There's news stories. Brendan Rodgers is speaking about transfers, and Philippe Clement is talking about his new contract. Because normally on this night on Super Scoreboard, we just are inundated with people throwing out wild predictions for the new season. So you can tweet me some, you can squeeze some in the last 10 minutes, or maybe we will do it tomorrow, because I usually do like that on the night before the season starts. John Marshall's tweeted to say, tonight's all about Falkirk. Let's have Shug and Cammy's thoughts for the Championship season ahead. It's not a bad shout from John. It's kicking off right now, Falkirk Queen's Park. First game of the SPFL season, first game of the Championship, Flag Night. You never call it Flag Night, do you?
No.
It's always Flag Day. Flag Night for Falkirk, having come up last season.
And Falkirk are an intriguing part of it all. Could John McGlynn possibly do back-to-back promotions? What a story that would be. A big club, Falkirk, great supporter base, years in the doldrums, and under John McGlynn they have flourished and then some. Invincibles of last season. And they've got as good a chance as anybody. I know Brian Graham was on our programme last night, and he'll fancy Partick Thistle, and there are all manner of teams who will think they've got a shout. But oh my, what a story that would be. Back-to-back promotions for Falkirk.
Yeah, listen, brilliant for Falkirk, and where they should be if not getting up to the Premier League. But you look at the table, and genuinely, you
take
look at
pick.
Every single one of them would fancy their chances. I think Scott Brown will fancy his chances at Ayr. They're developing as a club and as a squad. Falkirk, Hamilton, Livingston coming down. Martindale will want them to bounce straight back up. I genuinely think this is the tightest this league will ever be.
There's only one or two that, like, I hope, no offence.
Who? Name them.
No offence, friend of the show, came on, beat the pundit. You'd be surprised if Morton won the league, as an example, right? I don't think that's been disrespectful.
But playoffs, who would fancy that?
That's what I was going to say. Because of the structure now, everybody will be at least believing at this point in time they can. So we'll be right in saying there's no part-time teams in that division anymore, is there?
No.
So it's meeting in the middle. There's no part-time teams, but there's no Dundee United or Kilmarnock or Dundee or Hearts, going back further, Hibs, Hearts, Rangers, St Mirren. It's all meeting the middle. Most will fancy the
honestly, the when you look at the table, it looks amazing. I actually think that every single game is going to be so which it always is competitive, but this year I just look and it looks as if
this thing about the Scottish Championship, well, usually it's always really tight, and it can't be any tighter than normal, but on paper that looks like it could be.
Yeah, and I think there's no team that sticks out that would get relegated. There's no team for me that sticks out to say they're definitely going to get promoted or their favourites get promoted. There might be Partick Thistle, probably slight favourites.
I think I checked last night. I think it was Wraith and Partick. Yeah. I thought were the two favourites could see.
When people say anybody can beat anybody else, that's normally what happens. So we'll end up with a blanket finish towards the end of the season.
Could you see Queen's Park winning the league?
Why not? I think
they're playing tonight.
Yeah, they've got good players in their squad. They've actually added a wee bit of experience, and I think that's what they've missed when they went up into the Championship. They've been a very young team. They've now got experience here and guys that have played in that league for a season. So, I think I honestly couldn't write off anyone in that
Can
in that
you
league.
Imagine Dom Thomas's celebration if he's the captain of the league winner.
So that one's tonight. Falkirk have had a chance early on, but still goalless. Falkirk against Queen's Park. It's a bit spread out. It's good to keep the excitement running throughout the weekend. Not so good for Saturday's Clyde One Super scoreboard, I have to say. But we've covered Rangers heading to Tynecastle. Should be a cracker. Always is. Never mind opening day of the season. Which new signings will play for Rangers? I think they need Robin Proper's paperwork to come through, so I don't know if that will happen. Vaslav Cherny says he's probably only ready to come off the bench, so he won't start the game. Dujon Sterling is injured. But other than that, who knows? Will Lauren Shanklin play for Hearts? Can you imagine those team lines come in tomorrow and he's not there?
But what a position he's in. If he scores and Hearts win the game and Rangers' season starts in a desperately negative fashion, he'll be reviled by the Rangers supporters and may yet join Rangers before the end of the window. If he doesn't score and Rangers win, the Hearts fans will accuse him of betrayal. You don't have the mentality to play against Rangers. You've allowed your head to be full of nonsense. So I wouldn't like to be Lauren Shanklin tomorrow, I have to be honest. And I look at that defence. If paperwork comes in for Robin Proper, you get Butland then go. If Proper is there, you've got Tavernier, who has, for me, I don't care that he's only won 3 trophies in 9 years at Rangers. I think Rangers would be weaker without Tavernier. So I think Hearts will find it difficult to score a goal tomorrow.
Wow, he's gone in early with his bold predictions. On to 3 o'clock, it's just the one Premiership offering. Motherwell and Ross County, 9th versus 11th. Yep. From last season, Cammy, Ross County back-to-back playoff survivals. Is that a sign that they are living dangerously and would need to struggle again, or might struggle again? Or can you see them having a more positive season?
It's an opportunity, and it's awareness that Don Kilmy will know that he needs to improve his squad. He's lost a big player in Simon Murray to Dundee. I think it's that's huge, a huge loss. But again, I think it was family reasons that he moved down to Dundee. But it's a game that Ross County are probably looking forward to, because it's an opportunity that they'll look at that game and think they can get 3 points on the board and a good start to the season. And I flip that, Motherwell will be thinking the exact same, so we could be in for a good game.
Ronan Hale, though, is scored four in the group stages. Ross County's new summer signing, so whether he can pick up where Simon Murray left off. Stama, will we just call him Stama?
Yeah, please.
Apostolos Stama.
He's a fascinating one.
Little work permit issues there, so I don't know if there's any chance he plays tomorrow. Motherwell have lost Theo Bear, Blair Spittle, Liam Kelly. Recruited a lot of players. How do you see that one going tomorrow?
Well, after last Sunday and Partick Thistle, and I know it was in the end inconsequential because Motherwell went into the last 16 of the cup and Partick Thistle did not. But after that, they have to put on a performance for their supporters. And the fans, I think, will expect it's Ross County. We should be beating them at Fir Park. And that's the kind of pressure that's on them. The Motherwell players and Stuart Kettlewell. So from the get-go, they have to deliver.
I love this weekend though, because every team in every league anywhere in the world wants to win their opening game. What does everybody say? You need to get off to a good start. I mean, the truth is you don't. It's not a spoiler. No. 38 games, you can stink out the place for a few weeks and you can get it back on track. But still, it just does something psychologically. It allows people to buy into whatever it is the manager's worked on, or if it's new signings, it looks like it's all worked. Take Kilmarnock would be a good example. Last season, they had to host Rangers on the opening day. They had a League Cup game against Celtic not long after that. They had a really tough start, but all of a sudden you come through that. Everyone's already flying, and you can ride that momentum for a bit.
I just feel as if, I think a start is really important. It's not the make or break, but again, you don't want the negativity festering around your club. And I've touched on it, the big two, Celtic and Rangers, they've got to get off to a good start, because we know how much the fans will vent their frustration if they don't pick up 3 points this weekend. And then Rangers have got a big European game, so every team wants to start well. It's massive for them.
I like negativity.
We know that.
You can work with negativity. All this positivity and people smiling, that's of no use to me.
I mean, David Friel's covering the game at Motherwell tomorrow, and he's just messaged to say Stama suits him fine. It's actually not that difficult. See if you just sound that out. It's just more intimidating than it. It's not as intimidating as it looks, I should say. But anyway, we look forward to that one tomorrow at Fir Park. Very briefly, Hugh, over the rest of the weekend as well. What's jumping out at you?
Dundee Derby.
How could it not?
Cammy touched upon Simon Murray going back to Dundee, his boyhood favourites. I think Simon Murray will be the difference between the two teams. I think Dundee will win and get things off to a real start. And I love a derby match. And that Dundee derby at Tannadice will be, for me, outstanding.
And just like that, it is all over. A summer of speculation, rumour, talk about who will do what in the new season. The questions will start being answered tomorrow. Rest up if you can, because we've got a bumper day ahead. We're here at midday, we'll be here right through until 6 o'clock, bringing you the two big games in the Premiership: Hearts against Rangers, Motherwell against Ross County. And because of that reduced card, we will be dipping into the Championship as well, with plenty to preview ahead of Sunday. It is not to be missed. The first time in ages that Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel and Hugh Keevans will be back together. We look forward to it. Thank you to Cammy Bell for joining us this evening. Thank you for your calls, your tweets, your company. 12 o'clock tomorrow. Get it in the diary and enjoy the rest of your Friday.